Want to immerse yourself in sport and the stories of athletes from across the Pacific? Well, join me, Sam Wykes, alongside some of the most talented journalists and sports commentators from across the region for Fresh Off the Field. Each week, we'll also bring you interviews with Pacific athletes leaving their mark on the international stage and those aspiring to do the same. From cricket to netball, athletics to football, and everything in between. Listen to Fresh Off the Field on your favourite podcast app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Niche and Footy with Sam Wykes and Jinirao Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Kia ora, happy Monday and good afternoon. Welcome to Niche and Footy, where we cover all things Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Tinero Arona, and alongside me each week is my co-e, Sammy Wykes. Sammy, good afternoon, brother.
It's good to be here, man. We have a massive show planned, but not as big as that thing on your eye. What happened? You got a bit of a shiner.
Yeah, mate.
Scraps.
Mate, it was just cut my underneath my eye, and you don't even know want to know how I done it.
How's the other bloke? Is he okay?
Well, I decided to headbutt someone's elbow.
Oh, no.
He was just standing there, and I've, turned the corner, playing rugby league, of course, and just cut myself and went down and go, you silly bugger. But anyway.
Nah, looks good, mate. You can hardly notice. But anyway, we have a big show.
Lucky I've got a face for radio, mate.
Me too. But yeah, big show. A little bit different today as well with our guests. For this week, we've got a few guests.
I know. Thanks for the heads up.
Sorry, man. I was on the fly here. So I was at the Moana Pacifica game versus the Brumbies, and I was able to get a fair few interviews on the field there. I was able to be in their circle after the game as well, where they did the hymns and the prayers. So I felt very privileged. But we're going to put together...
Wait, say that again. So you went to the last ever Moana Pacifica Super
Not
Rugby
last
game,
ever, but yes,
which last was held ever. In... Australia, Canberra, Australia, the capital of Australia.
It is.
And they were playing the Brumbies.
Yeah, they're the Brumbies.
And you got to be a part of the whole day.
I was their good luck charm because they got the victory, and we will go through that in the show. But I was a part of that. So thankful
and
to Moana. Done a few interviews. Thankful for Moana for allowing me to be part of their special occasion, their bittersweet moment, and man, heartwarming. So we're going to play some of those interviews. So we've got Patrick Pellegrini, Selala Mapasua, Semisi Tupolotailoa. We've got Miracle Failangi talking about probably the last time he addresses this team.
Mm.
His final words to his team.
Was this before or after the game?
This was after the game, that one. Patrick, and that was before
the
game.
Got the whole day.
Patrick was after the game, actually.
So
yeah.
You went pre-game, post-game. You had the Nijan footy hat the whole time.
Whole time, brother, whole time. So make sure we stay tuned for that one. We've also got a bit of a recap on the Drua season, so we'll go through that. And then rugby league, round 13. Couple of upsets there, couple of unbelievable games.
Remember the old Jared Hayne meme? After they won the State of Origin series.
What did he say again?
Oh, it's been a long time.
Oh, there'll be some St. George fans absolutely celebrating. Probably still going, I think.
They'd be still celebrating going. After their first win this season, which we'll get to shortly, and a couple other games. So stay tuned. Big show ahead, Niche and Footy.
Moment of the week.
We're going to stick to the theme, Sammy.
Yes, we are, mate. It's big rugby union, Moana Pacifica, heavy show today, I think.
All right, let's do it. What do you got for us?
Well, it's amazing that they won. So that in itself is the moment of the week. You know, them winning their potentially last ever game. And you see the excitement on the boys' face, but you also saw the sadness on the boys' face as well. But then after the game, after they do all their photos with their family, going into the change rooms, I was on the sideline with my nephews and stuff as well, and they were in the crowd there to watch Patrick as well. And they go, the kids go, "Mate, can we jump the fence and come over?" And I had to look at the security guard. His back was turned. "Yeah, quick, jump over. So they jumped over.
So you broke the rules.
Yeah, broke the rules. Sort of bend them a little bit. But anyway, we got them. We walked through to the tunnel, and then just saw a tunner outside of the dressing sheds. And they go,
In the tunnel. Yeah, yeah.
And then I was like, "Oh, these are Patrick's nephews." And he goes, "Oh, come into the dressing sheds." I was like, "Oh, yo, sweet." So
Wait, how did that moment feel when he said, "Come into the sheds?"
Oh, bro, like, we've been a part of that that feeling of being in the sheds. Yeah. You know, we understand what it's like, but I did feel like a kid again. Oh, me too.
Coming from Tana, the OG, one of the legends.
The kids are just excited as is, but I pushed them in and he goes, come in as well. I knew I was going in, but I just wanted to make sure. Is it okay for me too?
Once you get the approval from the boss, man, you're all good.
So we walk in there and like, you know, the kids are getting shorts and shirts off the players. They're signing things. And then what was cool, they brought the wheelie bin out straight in the middle. And then Sam Tutupou, his son is named Sam Tutupou as well. He played in that game, came and gave my nephews the water as well. Make sure you get ready. Get ready. We're singing the song. Everyone's getting wet here. They got the bin there in the middle. They're pouring all the waters on it, all the soft drinks on it. And they were getting ready to sing this song. And I was like, oh, man, I've seen this on socials. This is amazing. I get to watch this live. And let's have a bit of a listen to their victory song.
This victory song on the Moana Pacifica social media page.
Yep.
And I could see just in the back, not many people would have seen, but you're standing in a locker and just out of everyone's way recording. So thank you very much for getting that footage for us.
I didn't want to get wet. So I'm standing in the back there in one of, it was in Patrick's locker, filming up top. But do you know the funny thing about this, about the song though? My little nephew Mosese got a bit excited when he threw the water. He threw the bottle as well, hits Matavao in the head. So he's there like, you just see in the corner of the vision, him just like grab his head, go down like this, walks around, he looks back and I'm going, Mosese, like in the song. Matavao comes back and finishes off the song, but my nephews will never forget that day. And just unbelievable scenes in there with the players. And I was so blessed to, you know, witness that firsthand. And hopefully it's not the last.
Well, I'm proud. I'm actually proud and happy that you got to have that moment for the amount of work off in the background scenes that you've been doing for Moana. I think there's two people that deserve to be in the sheds, and it would have been you and Lima Sopawanga.
I felt like that as well, being there. Like, I was there with ABC Sport, you know, and obviously they've got all the other media outlets there. But at the end, when they huddled up for their hymn and their team song, at the end and their prayers, like, it was the boys actually go, jump in. So I was like, oh, no. They go, no, jump in.
Oh, so you jumped in the huddle as well.
Yeah, in the huddle there. And so I just felt like, oh, man, I really didn't feel like I belonged in that circle. Like, it's such a sacred area.
Yeah.
You know, that's sacred. We know what that feeling's about. But, yeah, to be in there and feel and be a part of that, yeah, I was overwhelmed, man, so it was a very cool experience.
So did you get my jersey?
Sorry, I forgot. Let's get on with the show.
Hi, my name is Sitaleki Timani, and you're listening to Nation Footy.
Let's talk some rugby league before we get on to some more rugby union. Sammy, Round 13 kicked off over the weekend, and like I said, it had been a long time.
You got to do it with the when your voice breaks as well.
Go show us.
Long time.
But man, what a weekend for the Dragons fans! The Dragons end a 15-game losing streak. Imagine losing 15 games in a row.
So this is continued on from last year.
Oh,
wow.
So it's the first game that they've won this year, but they've also, I think it was like August last year with the last one they won, maybe earlier. But what a way to do it. Go to Brisbane, play the Brisbane Broncos, where Reece Walsh, Payne Huss, they're all playing as well. And then they win 30 points to 26. Now, early last week, I had the privilege to be at the Dragons HQ and run into my good friend Valentine Holmes. So they were having lunch, and I said, oh, how's everything in camp? He's like, yeah, man, you know, the boys are training really well. We just can't seem to put it on the field. And then he goes, I go, who you got this weekend? He goes, oh, Broncos. I'm like,
whereabouts? Oh, in Brisbane.
In Brisbane. So in my head, I'm like, oh, no, another loss. And then he's like, but we usually get them. I think, yeah, they're a bogey team. And then I'm just thinking in my head,
catch you up.
But the man goes up there, Valentine Holmes, scores two tries, kicks four goals, one penalty goal, and leads their team to victory. 30 points to 26. Now, the last 12 minutes, they did manage to hold the Broncos out. It was 30 points to 8 with 11 minutes to go. Broncos scored three tries. But just the Dragons showed that desperation to hold on and get their first win for the season.
You know what's important about these games for, say, someone like the Dragons and the narrative around it? Everyone's always like, how bad the Broncos played rather than actually how good probably the Dragons were. Like, yes, there could be some truth behind it, but at some point, you're going to get a win. Like, even though it feels like you're a long way off a win, like, you're still a very talented, very good football side that when it clicks, it's going to come together and you're going to catch someone on their day.
Yeah, and I can guarantee you that they've been working hard at training. Yeah. Every player had been turning up. They've been putting in the effort, but just unable to get the results on the weekend. So I think it's a huge sign of probably relief for the coach.
Relief is definitely the word.
You know how much these games mean, Sammy. You know, when you think about losing 15 games in a row, what can that do with the Dragons team and the environment this week?
One, it just allows you to just walk off that field and actually connect with everyone in the sheds. Just finally, you can put your arm around someone and go, how good is that? That's the feeling we've been chasing for so long. And it's not just the player. Now the coach comes in, you know, with a different vibe. It's not the same chat that you're probably going to get. Oh, if we completed here or the effort wasn't there, you know, make sure we show up to training. The whole energy shifts in the room, and then, yeah, the gear person's happy. Everyone's happy come Monday when you go into headquarters to go back to training, but it's such a great relief, and I'm sure that's going to hopefully ignite more to come for them, and that's the feeling that they want to have going into a week where it starts off so positive.
Now, before I get to the game of the round, I did like watching the West Tigers on the weekend. They beat the Bulldogs 22 points to 16. Two tries to Jarrell Skelton on the wing, one try to Fa'alatino Tavana, and another try to Jareem Buller, the Fijian international.
But bit of feeling in this one, T. It looked like there was a little bit of feeling there.
There was a bit of push and shove. I thought Sitili Tupuniua, he's been unreal for the Bulldogs. He'd by far been the best player in that team, and he was carrying the ball hard, putting shots on. But there was a moment when he runs this line close to the try line, Jerome Luai cuts him, gets his body in front, cuts him. Sitili drops the ball, falls over. Jerome finishes on top. He stands over him and just, you know that little, Jerome Luai's little sneaky smile, yell. So he does that, stands over him and yells. And then Sitili didn't like it. He got up. And then as soon as he got up, Jerome starts backdooring it, walks off. There's a bit of push and shove after, but I thought it was entertaining to watch. Well done to the Tigers for getting that victory. On to the game of the round. And we caught it earlier, we caught it on last Friday, Nijin Footy.
You're calling it almost like a preview for what could be a great grand final.
Possibly. But the Panthers versus the Warriors in Sydney, a very high-quality game. Now, there were Origin players that were arrested. No Nathan Cleary, no Yowie, no Mitch Barnett, no – who else played for the Warriors? for Kurt Capewell. And I still think with the players that were missing, you wouldn't be able to recognise it because of the quality of the game.
Awesome. I didn't realise those guys didn't play. I thought they were going to back up.
No. It was a very high-quality game. Casey McLean did back up. He said after the match that he got told, "Nah, you're still young. You can still back up.
You can earn your stripes, boy."
well, lucky he did play because he ended up scoring two tries and was probably the man of the match in this game. But, man, I thought their type of game was one, like, you know, shot for shot and very competitive. You could see the hunger. James Fisher-Harris had a bit of push and shove in him as well, playing his old teammates. But the Panthers just too strong. It was like that next man mentality. And they go on and win six in a row and remain the top of the NRL ladder.
How do you think poor Alamotti's feeling? You know, after having the final word there with a bit of a push and shove from Fish.
Yes.
Yeah, so, makes that mistake early on.
So to paint the picture, Warriors, they put a kick up. Paul Amotti, he's back trying to get underneath the ball to catch it. Slips over. The ball bounces. Alofiana Kamparera, one of the fastest guys in the NRL. He runs, catches the ball, scores the try. And then James Fisher-Harris comes in front of Paul Amotti and starts clapping and yelling.
Oh,
Dylan Edwards didn't like it.
That's got to burn, eh?
They have this all in, push and shove. And then Paul Amotti seals it with the match winner in the corner, dives, puts the ball down, stands up and gives everyone the silencer. So two tries to Casey McLean, two tries to Paul Amotti. Panthers get the victory. And I still think there's a possibility that we will see both teams at the end of the year in the big dance.
Love it, T. Love it. T, I know selections aren't out for Origin and you've just wrapped up a good round of footy, but I just want to forward think just a little bit. You know, is anyone going to play themselves into, say, New South Wales contention or Queensland contention? Because Payne Haas did look good.
For game two. You'd have to think Payne Haas is a given.
Is he? Because
he has to go and get in.
He's a machine, isn't he?
He is a one of one where the game for big men in the middle now, it's hard to play because the rule changes, the infringements, you know, some of these six tackle sets are turning into 12, 16 tackle sets. So, but for someone like Payne Haas, who still has the engine to keep the leg speed, keep the power in his carries after being fatigued, he's an Origin player as well. And I think
so that, straight back in there.
Yeah, okay. 100%.
Anyone else?
I'll say Payne Haas. Blake Brayley, he went down with a broken arm for the Cronulla Sharks.
Oh, so the reserve hooker that came on
He was the hooker who came on for Reece Robson for the Blues. So they'll have to replace that hooker position. I think Api Korosel, the Fijian hooker for the West Tigers, he is very crafty. He's got experience. It wouldn't surprise me if he gets the call up for game two.
Can he cover multiple positions as well as hooker? Like if you had to throw him out there and
he's a specialised hooker. I think when you've got Victor Radley, Cam Murray on the bench, they can cover like back row as well. But someone like RP to be able to...
Oh, I'd love to see him in a Blues jersey.
Just that extra, extra bit of attack to engage the markers or step out.
That's his game, isn't it? He's like lazy markers, tied defence, he can get out and create.
Oh, yeah. I would also say him, Wade Egan is another option, but I think Api Korosel, probably just the nose in front.
Okay. When does those teams get announced again?
It will be on next Monday morning.
Okay.
So after this weekend, you'll have a few players that are playing for positions. And I'm sure, you've got Payne Haas, RP, anyone else that I'm missing? Casey McLean. I mentioned his game, but it was strange because after the game one, Laurie Daly, he was asked by a reporter, you know, does Casey McLean push himself into a starting position for game two? And he said, short answer, no. But every other expert that I've been hearing online has all said Casey McLean needs a spot in the field.
I just wonder if he's trying to protect him a little bit, potentially just to deflect some of the pressure or attention that will come on him.
Oh,
but
man, he looks like someone who plays
he's all good
pressure.
With it, eh?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And he killed it for the Panthers. So those are the three that I'll be looking out for game two.
I love it. Anything else there?
No.
Happy with that?
Happy with that, mate. Happy with that. We'll cover some more on Friday. But yeah, stay tuned. You can hear every game of NRL on ABC Radio Australia.
Hi, I'm Tegan Hardigan, Bully Pulu Hooker, and you're listening to Nation Footy.
Yeah, T, Rugby Union, what a great weekend. Obviously, last round of Super Rugby this week, round 16, done and dusted. And the finals, quarterfinals are set, ready to go. We'll have the Hurricanes play against the Brumbies. We'll also have the Chiefs play the Reds. And then Crusaders will take on the Blues. So a big week ahead. But I want to talk about, we'll talk about the draw first. You know, for the draw, they went down in this one 45-24, and they got off to a pretty good start, the draw. Manasa Matele, he scored a triple, and they played some good footy. And watching their game, I just feel like this is – that's draw DNA, the way that they scored those tries, and that's Fijian footy at its very best. And I know that they still leaked – 45 points, but that came off the back of like more tries, like very structured type of footy. But the way that they played, I thought that is them to a T.
Do you think draw need to be a team where, similar to the Cowboys, remember the old Cowboys when they had Matt Bowen and Jonathan Thurston, where you could score three or four tries against them, they'll go and score five and six.
Exactly right. I think that has to be their type of philosophy. I know at the beginning of the year when Nemani was talking and hearing some of the way that they were preparing, they were talking about, we need a fast start. Everything was geared towards a fast start. And you're hearing that they were doing things like, okay, we're going to get vans so you can drive to training to get a fast start. We're not going to walk. And I was like, okay, that all sounds good and can lead to potential success. But
is it the core issue?
That's not the core issue. The core issue is making sure that they understand who they are and how they want to play their identity on that footy field. And it is actually playing with the ball. Don't worry about like trying to play like everyone else.
Because the drawer can't play like the Tars Everyone else can't play like the drawer.
Exactly right. And you don't need to worry about if you make a couple of errors out of your end zone. Like in you've tried to chance your arm a bit, swing the club to then see an opportunity and take it and try and score from 80 meters out.
Yeah,
that's you. Go after it. I think you should just be training that and being okay with the fact that it might not come off. But in their minds, it's probably going to come off more often than not because they've practiced it and they love that style of footy. They can clean up their defense, no doubt. I think if they can clean up their defense in and around the ruck and just like be better defensively around scrum and line-out time, try and feed off turnovers and play as unstructured as possible.
If the draw do play like that, expanding the width of the field and offloading, second phase play, moving the ball, what does that do to every team that has to defend against him? Do they stick to the same defensive structures or do all the other teams have to adjust their D to cater for the draw attack?
It's probably the one time where they're going to have to really just play heads up top of footy and be instinctive. Yep, stay in your systems, but be wary. There could be an offload, so I can't just get ridiculous line speed and leave a man on my inside. I might have to connect with him a little bit more to help in the tackle because they might get an offload away.
Just putting that bit of doubt in there.
Exactly, yeah. And I feel like that's where the draw need to get to going into next year. Worry about that part of the game, what they do best, double down on it, go hard, and I reckon they'll be getting more rewards than not.
Any updates on the new coach?
Not yet. Not yet. So hopefully Nems might have something for us this Friday. But if I did have some advice,
It would be that.
But all in all, I think they'll look back at that season and go, what should have, could have, would have happened. But now they can focus on flushing it, going into a test arena and going from there.
And just finally on the draw. So next year is the Rugby World Cup?
Yes, it is.
So will all of those draw players be playing potentially for a Fijian international jersey?
There would be.
As well?
They've got a great national side. You know, there's some players that are killing it over in France and in Europe and in England at the moment.
Are there many spots up for grabs?
So I feel like there's a couple of, like last year it was probably the most draw players I've ever had. I think they had 15 players in the total 30-man squad.
That would draw?
Would draw.
Oh, yep.
I don't think there's as many this time around, but come next year, I reckon there will be a fair few.
Because you'd have to say that that's in the back of their mind going into next season, playing
bit for more to play for.
Yeah, Fijian jersey as well.
But we'll get over to Minor Pacifica's game. This was from the get-go. there was a feeling that they were just going out with a bang. Like I was doing the interview with Silala Mapasur right at the start in the tunnel. Patrick Pellegrini comes right through the middle of my interview and just bumps me to the side and just laughs. It's like, oi, get out of my interview. And he just laughs, giggled, like didn't feel like in that just, you know, sometimes like an energy thing. I wasn't nervous. It was just like, whatevs.
Just, I'm going out to ball out today. Just yeah, have some fun.
Yeah. And you saw it in the warm-up. A lot of theirs was just like a bit of touch, bit of hand movement, smiling.
Did you ever get any messages from the players on what was the theme or what did Tana ask them to do? This week, in the last game.
Enjoy.
Thoughts. So.
Just enjoy the game and really understand what this is going to mean for everyone.
I had this with my junior team, and these boys that they didn't make the trial, like they were trialing for the last couple of days and didn't make the team. And when they come to play for their club, I was like, I don't want you to worry about anything other than enjoying your footy. Go out there and have fun. I want to see you smiling.
It should be the main message every single time. Like, honestly, because when you're happy, you're going to play good footy.
Mm.
And what that allowed them to do as well was like flush their mistakes straight away. They actually didn't care about the mistakes that they made. They had a crack too. And you talked about those Barbarians moments, T, where you thought, like, did they do anything special? They had a crack at that. So the first time they did this more like a special move at the line out where they went up and then they had two pods go up at the same time and he threw it to him to come down and more. Didn't work. But they didn't care. Next time, yeah. Next time they had that big Simisi Tupou Tailoa, their number eight, like a big, big body who had an outstanding game. He was there off one like phase play, stood at first receiver, chip over the top. The big number eight. And so that went over the top, regather, and they actually scored from it, but it just got brought back for the final pass was forward. You just tell straight away that like they're just having fun. The Brumbies probably had the worst game I've ever seen, and they got frustrated because of the pitches that Moana was showing is something that they wouldn't have trained for.
Mm.
So they were like, oh, we don't know how to play ad lib, or we don't know just to focus on what's happening here. Because we haven't seen this before, we haven't trained this, we haven't practiced for it. So, I think for Moana, man, congratulations from us here at Nijin Footy. It's been an absolute blessing to have covered your journey, not just on field, off field as well. Have some of the interviews, and just I hope it's not the last time we get to cover them. But for now, thank you so much for that, and I wish everyone all the best moving forward in their futures. So
nice, bro.
We'll see how we go. But that's us for Rugby Union Tea.
The Long Story Short with Shelley Long.
Yes, each Monday we are blessed with her presence. Shelley Long, our PNG Orchid star. Shelley, good afternoon. How are you feeling after last weekend's State of Origin? Blue wash, three wins in a row, series taken by the New South Wales Blues. And just finally, I can see you're wearing more blue today like you were last week.
We'll take you, Shelley. You know, we can have you.
I'm feeling good, guys. I'm feeling good. I think in terms of finally having Women's Rugby League back on our TV screens, that's the excitement right there. Always see the
positive. This is a long-winded answer, man. Just go straight to the emotion, to the heart of it. Be disappointed.
No, let her keep going. Oh,
sorry. Yeah, you go.
But in reality, yes, I was quite sad. I was happy for my friends in the Blues team, but I was sad for the outcome. And I think a lot of Queensland would have been sad to see that, but I think a lot of Blues fans would have been really proud of the fact that they were able to take all three wins. I think it's one thing to win the series at two wins, but I think it's another great achievement in itself to be able to win all three games. And I think when you look at New South Wales team, they have the ability to do that. They've got the strong players. They've got the depth in their teams. And unfortunately for Queensland, just their lack of experience, I think, in tough and challenging times really put them under pressure. But in saying that, Destiny Minasinapati had an outstanding game. I was really impressed with how she went. We spoke about her last week on who to watch out for. And I think she went into that game with a lot of confidence, and hopefully she'll take that confidence into her NRLW season with the Gold Coast Titans.
Yeah, I agree. She was everywhere. She was...
She cramped up pretty bad too in that game. I
saw she was one a player of the match for Queensland for sure.
But she did return the ball very well on some of those kick returns.
Well, we'll cover all things NRLW, which will be kicking off very shortly. How far are we away from NRLW? 3 weeks? Three, 4 weeks?
Four weeks away. Trial matches will be started to be played in the next 2 weeks' time. So that's really exciting news.
Just well, they're in pre-season at the moment, though. One of the big signings that we saw was from Rugby Union, our Cook Island mates there. Oh, Ash Masters, one of the best from Rugby Union. She's now gone over. Have you got word on her and how she's going over there in the pre-season for the Cowboys?
I can't give away too much, but I can tell you that she is going really well. And I'm really excited to see her pull on the North Queensland jerseys. And I think she definitely will make an impact, especially with her low to ground attack. She's sure to bump off some players in the competition.
Do you reckon she's a chance of playing in the World Cup at the end of the year?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Cook Islands aren't in the World Cup.
For Australia, obviously.
Oh, you had me. I'm thinking the Cook Islands are a chance here. Oh my, I keep forgetting.
No, Cook Islands didn't qualify for this one, but they did win the pack chance last year somehow and still can't qualify. But anyway.
There's a campaign going on here. What position will she play before we move on, do you think?
Look, I think she, because she's transitioning from rugby union to rugby league, I think she'll more than likely fill into the position of a front rower just because the game style, there'll be a lot of kind of changes she'll need to adapt to. I think the best position probably for her would be that front row. Run hard, tackle hard. And that's what Ash Masters is known for in rugby union.
I reckon she could expect a fair bit of traffic coming her way from, you know, those stubborn rugby league players. Like, let's test her out, see if she can hold on. So expect a bit of traffic and a lot of tackling.
Yeah, she'll hold her own. I've got no doubt. What's it? Is it Castle Hill, the famous Castle Hill?
Yes. She ran that.
Yeah, I think that's got to keep her in good stead to make sure she's fit enough to be able to deal with all that traffic coming her way.
Yeah, and I think for her, coming to the North Queensland Cowboys, it's just the atmosphere here and the group of people at this club are really good, and I think it's probably a great move for a first club as a union player. So anyone else thinking of union, feel free to come to the Cowboys too.
Nah, let's not. Let's just transition over to rugby union, actually. Speaking of that, round one, Super W kicks off this week. We've got the Waratahs versus the Drua. We've got the Reds versus the Brumbies. So the big one there for the Brumbies is a big in is Avania Wong has now gone to the Brumbies. She's left the Reds. She's played so many games for the Reds and been there since day dot. But that's a big one for the Brumbies, having her in their team, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And she has had a outstanding career with the Reds. I think they'll really miss her. But in terms of the Reds, I do think they develop quite well. They put a lot of their younger players through the systems quite early on and build them up. But she, the proud PNG woman that she is, she'll be missed. And I think she'll make a really big impact for the Brumbies. I know they signed a number of rugby league players to try and boost their depth there. So they're looking outside the box. But I'm really interested to see how they'll go as the year progresses.
Is there anything you need help with around rugby union? What to look out for? Just ask me now. I can help you out here if you need to, because I know you're a diehard rugby league person. I'm slowly transitioning you over to rugby. But is there anything else you need to understand so you can attack this Super W season?
No, Sam. I think I'm pretty across it. I think last year I actually gave you some pointers on.
Yes.
Saying that though, Sam, kickoff does happen in 5 days' time on Saturday. The first game kicking off at Leichhardt and the second one in Brisbane at Ballymore Stadium. There has been a number of rugby union players, though, move over to rugby league, which then gives the opportunity for some of those fringe players or developing players to come through the ranks. So I'm really excited for this season. I think the Fijian draw will be a really good excitement to it. And they, speaking of, I think there has been a number of players that have been in that sevens format that generally do cross over into the draw, which will also add them some more depth.
Yeah, looking forward to the Super W season. It will be a sprint, but there'll be some quality football being played. And let's stay on the theme of sevens. Before we wrap it up, there was one outstanding try scorer there for the Fijian side.
Over in rugby sevens, Aluni Sao scored her 100th try against South Africa, which is exciting news.
Brilliantly taking the ball off the restart. And here's Reapi Aluni Sao, who saved the try in the first half. And she's looking to add one here in the second. Oh, it's a mazy run from the Reapi Aluni Sao. What a try that is.
They were unfortunately beat in the quarterfinals, but I think with this try, that would build a lot of momentum for them, and I think a lot of happiness as well. It looked like a really incredible try that she'd scored. So, yeah, I'm really excited, really happy for her, and congratulations.
Yeah, the Fijian side there, the women's, they bailed out in the quarterfinals, but, yeah, that was an amazing try. Get over and watch that on their socials when she blitzed them against South Africa to score. But thank you so much for that, Shelley. We'll check in with you again next week. But we're going to get to our feature for this week. We're going to recap what was truly a fitting farewell for the Moana Pacifica in Canberra, beating the Brumbies, and it was an outstanding game. It started with a pre-game chat with Silala Mapasua, their assistant coach. We're going to relive some of the action that unfolded in the game, and then we get to a few post-game chats with my cousin Patrick Pellegrini, Simisi Tupoutailoa. We've got Tana Umanga as well, then Mirikua Failangi addressing the team for the very last time with a beautiful hymn.
Tala Falava, it's Miracle Failangi here, and I'm listening to Nizian Footy.
I'm here with Moana Pacifica's assistant coach, Silala Mapasua. Russ, it's good to see you, man. You haven't aged a bit.
You're too kind, Sammy. Good to see you also. It's been a while.
Mate, it has been a while, but obviously with the news of Moana potentially no longer being here next year, you know, how's the feeling being in the group?
It's a bit of a weird one, eh? It's been tough. It's been a tough few couple of months and weeks. It's been an opportunity for the boys to show a bit of resilience, and it's kind of, if anything, kind of brought us a bit closer together. And, you know, credit to the boys, they've just kind of made a decision, ruled a line in the sand, and got on with it. So, yeah, it's been an emotional last week. But, yeah, we're just we still got a job to do.
Yeah, you still have that job to do, and obviously preparation is still very important, but what's the week of preparation been like, you know, when you know that this is probably your last game? How do you get that balance right? We're still getting your on-field stuff, but making sure there's still love and connection going around.
That's one thing this team does well, is that love and connection piece. And we talked about showing that through our preparation. You know, for a lot of our boys, this is the last chance to play in a team together, let alone play for Moana Pacifica. So our care and how we've prepared for the game, and making sure that we represent our people well. You know, that's been the driving message right throughout. You know, better make sure we turn up and represent not just ourselves, but also our family, our friends, all the people of the Pacific that are supporting us. And if anything, you know, make a statement at the same time.
Mate, you've coached and played around the world, but what's been some of your favourite moments being in Moana Pacifica?
It's the whole ride's been awesome since coming to Moana, and I think for me is the biggest joy I get is seeing our players, seeing our boys, you know, in an environment and in a competition like Super Rugby, and seeing the growth, their growth and development in terms of not just their rugby, but also as Pacifica men, and I think that's been the most rewarding, is seeing that growth amongst our boys, and just seeing them really embrace their culture and also who they are.
And finally, mate, for yourself, mate, you've been an amazing coach. What's next for you?
I'd love to keep coaching. I really enjoy the coaching part, and you know, being part of something, being part of something bigger than myself. So we'll get through today, and we'll get through the next kind of couple of weeks, and then reassess what the next move is.
Docs, ofalahiatu, bro. Much love.
Moana on the attack, 30 metres away. Pellegrini with a double kick and retrieve. Might just have the Brumbies 19, Moana 14. They spread a line to Itama. Off to Latu. Inside ball.
Go! Yes! What a try!
And we have 19 apiece.
Give them a few. How good!
Right on 72 minutes. Expansive play. There's 30 tired men out there, and Moana Pacifica find a hole. It started with Pellegrini. It ends with Matavao. And we have a kick now for Pellegrini from 5 metres to the right of the post to take the lead on 73 minutes. Here we
and
go.
Over.
Pellegrini, 20 metres out, just right of the post. Moana Pacifica have the lead with 6 minutes to play. Moana 21, Brumbies 19. This is exhilarating. Sam Wykes, that was fun to watch.
Wow.
Pellegrini, ball in hand, taps it, kicks it out. It is victory for Moana Pacifica, the pride of the Pacific. Their 15th win in 5 years. They will not forget this one. Here, in the islands, or anywhere. Moana 21, Brumbies 19. Malo Upito and Fafatai Lava, Moana Pacifica.
Yeah, I'm down on the ground here with Patrick Pellegrini. Right, how does that feel, man? Also with the tries and just the win, how does that feel?
Yeah, so happy, bro. The boys deserved it. You know, we've been putting in some good performances the last few weeks, and feels good to finish on a high note. You know, not a lot of good news lately for the boys, so just so happy for everyone.
What was the lead-up like into this game?
To be fair, we just stayed tight as a group, you know. Had a big carver session, boys getting around each other. We spoke about the emotion. It's going to be a tough one, but you know, we said like let's use that, and I think that got us through to the 80th minute today.
Is that the secret carver session midweek?
Yeah, apparently. Not for me, bro. I was cooked after that one. Yeah. That was my first big carver session, bro. Sick ass.
And when you think about the moments in that game, like at what point in that game where did you feel like, yeah, we've got it here?
To be honest, I felt comfortable, like felt good the whole game that we could put in a good performance and get the dub. But to say like felt comfortable with the win, like never, you know, all the way to that 80th minute was scary. You know, you saw what happened last week, so just holding our breath till that final whistle blew.
And then finally, just, you know, the boys, man. What does this win mean for the boys after some tough times? What does that mean?
Yeah, it's massive. You know, we didn't have the season that we wanted. Started with a win, finished with a win, so I'm so happy for, you know, this whole team, and yeah, it's just so good to finish on a high with these boys.
Man, much love, bro. Yes, I have the big man, Simisi Tupoutailoa. He had spiders on him out there, but he joins us now. Man, how are you feeling after that game? You put in a big shift.
Yeah, to be honest, pretty sad. Not really, like, I mean, I'm happy we won, but it's more sad because potentially the last time I get to represent this club, and this club means everything to me, it means family.
What's been the, I guess, your favourite part about being in a side that is, you know, Pacifica, you know, Samoa and Tongan coming together? What's been your favourite moments within your team?
To be honest, I think it's just coming in the morning and to always start off for prayer and bese, and just everyone singing together, like different backgrounds, but all singing the same song, singing the same hymn, and it's just together. So we start day together, and it's not like, you know, everyone's coming in slowly and then team meeting. But yeah, I think that's my favorite. That's the moments I'll miss the most. Don't get me wrong, I love the rugby. I'll do anything to play every week, but just miss. I definitely miss coming in every day, seeing all the boys.
And what does it mean to your family as well to be able to represent your family, representing Moana Pacifica?
It means everything. Moana gave me my chance when no one wanted me, and just those doors that opened up to me from there just made me make my dream come true as becoming a Super Rugby player. And, yeah, it was a bit tough one to take today, knowing that potentially our last game.
I spoke to Patrick Pellegrini just before. He said the secret was the fake other session midweek and the week before. How was that?
Nah, it was good. Keep our process every week. I think that's why we'll feel us a bit walking after 10 minutes. But nah, there's a little things we miss. There's a little connection. So yeah, it'll be a tough one to don't know what's next here, but hopefully we smash it.
Finally, one last message to all the supporters out there, the people of the Pacific, your family, about just, you know, what it meant for you and just to hopefully keep the hopes alive.
Oh, he's mean everything to us. We might not show it much, but man, we won't be where we are without our family, without our heritage, and we just hope that we put a smile on your face every week, and hopefully we did it today. So just happy.
Ofalahi atu, bro. Amazing job. Maro pito.
Yeah, far longer time than among us. Congratulations on that win today. That was an incredible performance from your team. You must be so proud of them.
Oh, very proud. I think that's the thing that comes to our mind straight away. Just how proud I am of, you know, the group that's here, but also the group that's at home that supported us and got us ready for this performance. You know, and they're a reason why we're here, and all our staff, you know, and families that we've left behind at home. You know, like, we carried a lot of their wishes and their energy with us over here, and you know, that's what we needed to get through.
In all your years of rugby, you would have seen teams get a second win, but it felt like your boys got a second, a third, a fourth win at different points today.
Oh, we needed it. We needed them. And I think that's just the tenacity of these players. You know, there were times when we, probably in previous games, we've kind of not been able to come back, but today, because they had strong purpose and it meant a lot to them, they kept getting up for each other, and you know, I think that's going to serve them well wherever they go to next. But you know, it meant a lot to us today.
No doubt about that. Stephen Larkham said on Wednesday this week that the Brumbies knew that there would be a big emotional element, particularly the first quarter of the game. On your side of the contest, you suggested to your boys to use that, to use the adrenaline of the moment.
Well, you can, like, as we know, and as you know, Steve knows as well, you know, emotion only gets you so far. You know, you've got to make sure you utilise it in the right way. You know, it'll get you to a point, but in the end, once that emotion's gone, you still got to rely on what you've been training, and that's something that we've been talking about a lot, you know, throughout the season, to be honest. Like, just back our training. We make a plan, let's just stick with the plan. If it doesn't work, then, you know, at least we all know, you know, we did our best to execute that plan, and you know, we had a good plan today, and you saw some of it not come off, but we were close. But as long as they stuck together and, you know, we sat on the same page, many good things can happen, and more times than not, you know, we're on the same page.
You might get a thank you card or a note from Clark Laidlaw this week. You might have given the Hurricanes a bit of a blueprint for next week.
Oh, look, I don't know if they need one.
That's old Hurricanes habits dying hard there.
Yeah, well, that's right. That's right. No, look, you know, I think they're playing outstandingly well, and I'm sure you know they rested a few players last night and gave some guys a special moment yesterday against the Crusaders. But I'm sure they'll be up for it next Friday.
You mentioned before that you just hope that whatever happens next for your boys, that they played well. Going out with a win is best case scenario, obviously.
Oh, exactly. I keep saying to people, there's no such thing as a fairy tale, but
this is pretty close.
Pretty close, eh? Pretty close. And you're right. You know, what better way than to give back to our people? You know, to people that have supported us throughout the whole year, and then you know, putting on a performance for them and getting the win that for them, really.
How many of these guys would you love to see running around next year?
Oh, all of them. All of them, if I could, eh? Yeah. Hey, look, I've just got to get going. Is that all right?
You can indeed. Congratulations on the win and everything you've done with the team.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
The win today was for our people, eh? It was for the family and friends that was with us from the start to now. I'm proud of everyone in this group, eh? That win was all of you guys, eh? Made my job easier, eh? Season's done now. Just want to wish you guys all the best for what's next for you, eh? Not just for us here, but our brothers back home, eh? Just listening and watching, eh? Just go out there and be the best of yourselves in your club rugby. Go be the best in your franchises, NPC. Go be the best in your national as well. Representing your country, Tonga, Samoa, whatever. But it's been a privilege, boys. It's an honour for me. Not only me, but for my family. Living you guys. Like, special group, this group, eh? Eh? Whatever happens tonight, if I stay tired, eh? Let's have some fun now, eh? See, it's done now. Just be proud, eh? as always, eh, staying in the fight. But well, I'm proud of you, eh? Love you, boys. And yeah, last year's winner. Wish Tana as well for his next role, eh?
Special insights there as the captain of Moana Pacifica, Miracle Fight Alangi, tells him just how proud he is. Let's hear this final hymn.
Sammy, before we get to Give Me Three, I just want to say a big thank you for you wearing your Nijan footy hat over the weekend and getting them great interviews.
Shot, brother.
Well done, mate, working overtime for the crew and the team and giving the people of the Pacific what they want. But this is Give Me Three, where we wrap up our show. A bit of fun where we play some categories and I'll give you a question. We get points, blah, blah, blah. I'm winning 22-6.
Let's get to 22-16,
and the loser has to give the winner a jersey of their choice. And you didn't get me a Moana one.
Sorry, brother. I got caught up in the hype of the whole day.
Did you get yourself one?
I didn't actually. I didn't get anything.
Nothing.
Besides good interviews, felt good. I just...
in the moment.
Just in the moment. I might steal the one off my nephew then. Do you want me to do that?
No, nah, don't do that.
Steal the one that was given to him?
Or rather the water bottle that he threw at the player. Give me that.
Oh, man, sorry, Matavao, man. Sorry about that.
Well, let's give me three. Bit of an easy one. You should know, definitely know one, but give me the last three clubs who have won the NRL Wooden Spoon.
Ah,
so the Wooden Spoon is the team that comes last.
Yep.
Give me the last three teams.
Newcastle was last year.
Were they?
Yep.
Newcastle.
And then it went Tigers.
Tigers.
So am I right?
Yeah. So that's 2 points. No, the last three clubs.
Oh, three clubs. I thought you meant consecutive years. No. Oh, okay.
Last three clubs. So you got two.
So who was before the Tigers? That's a good one. I was thinking, I've got it like... I'm all over the last 3 years.
Yeah.
So who would have got it for the
question? Clubs.
Yeah,
so clubs. So you got Newcastle Knights. I didn't think you were going to get that one. But Knights, Tigers. Tigers, how many in a row did they do?
Yeah, was it three in a row?
Three in a row, yes.
It was three, but that's not the question.
No.
Okay.
Father's Day is the question.
On Sunday.
Give me the
last
club. Who
is the one before the Tigers? Who was before the Tigers?
If you do your math,
I'm going to say the Bulldogs.
Oh, three from three.
Oh, did I get it?
Yes. Great work.
Yes. Yes.
And that is what happens when you don't prepare your give me three question. 3 points for Sammy White.
Oh, 22-19. Thank you.
You deserve after the work you've done on the weekend, mate. Great work.
But anyway, that is our time up for today. Make sure you tell your footy loving friends about Nijan Footy. Find it wherever you get your podcasts or on the ABC Pacific website. We'll see you on Friday.
Ka kite. We'll catch you on Nijan Footy Fridays.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.